rebound. Shoots it, deflected right in. Peter Angel save rebound. Nasty stop by Peter Angel. I don't believe that save. Neither does Peter Nasty. He can't believe the save that Peter Angel just made on him as Frankie sparkling on that maneuver there to stop and rob Peter Nasty. He should get 5-10 for that.
Hello and welcome to episode 65 of Tendy Talk, presented by the BLPA and the Hockey Podcast Networks. I'm your host Joe, better known as Wash Up Goalie on social media. This week I chat with Boston University goalie coach, author of How to Be a Goalie Parent and Hockey Goaltending, founder of Stop It Goaltending, and if that wasn't enough, director of goaltending development for Sense Arena, Brian DeCord. There are so many good nuggets of information in this episode, so without further ado, let's get to the conversation with Brian.
What's up?
Eddie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining me on the podcast today. I appreciate you taking time out of your real estate empire.
Yeah. I'm just driving in between appointments here. How are you doing?
Not bad. The weather there looks amazing. It's 20 below zero here in Minnesota today.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
I bet you don't miss that.
No, I don't. I mean, that was the biggest reason why I moved down here, right? I just love the weather and just love the atmosphere.
Yeah. When you were a kid growing up in Sweden, did you ever think you would retire to the desert?
You would have asked me like 4 or 5 years ago, I probably would have said like, I don't believe you either. So yeah.
So again, thanks for joining the podcast. You know, I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to any others, but it's really a chance to, you know, talk a little hockey and goaltending with goalies, but also life away from the rink. But I always like to ask all goalies, you know, how did you get started in the game of hockey, especially over in Sweden? I know it's not necessarily the same way a kid in the States or even Canada might, as you guys have different youth association rules and regulations.
Yeah, so I started playing hockey when Sweden won the Olympics in 94, and I watched Tommy Salo made like a sliding save in the shootout, and then Peter Forsberg scored this amazing goal that we actually put on a postal stamp in Sweden. So
yeah,
I was 6 years old at the time, and I just said, "Dad, I want to play." And the hockey didn't start normally for kids until we were like 7 or 8. So mm-hmm. I was just early, right? So my dad bagged, and then he threw me in with. With everyone that was 1 and 2 years older than me, right? And they've been through the skating school and everything like that. And I just was like fresh starting out, right? So quickly noticed that I was not really as good of a skater as everyone else. And, when we started with goalies a year or so later, I just thought that was my way of fitting in, right? And I really liked it. So, yeah.
Well, I know in USA Hockey, you know, in their goalie initiative right now, they say catch a puck, catch the bug. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened to you. You know, you got to try it out, and the rest is history.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, the town that I grew up in, we weren't a very good team or anything, but we had fun, and we lost a lot of games, and I got a lot of shots against me, and I played there until I was 13, and then I moved to Stockholm to play with the better guys. So,
you know, it's funny you mentioned playing on a team that wasn't very good, but you got a lot of shots, and I think for goalies, that's almost better than being on that top team at a young age, you know, see the shots and just try and figure it out. But, you know, more importantly, like you said, you had fun, and that's half the battle, to keep kids in there in those early years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really have it any other way. I mean, it worked for me, right?
Yeah. You know, I know here in the States, kids growing up, you know, we know of the NHL as soon as we start skating. But over in Europe, you know, for a lot of young kids, the goal is to play internationally, to wear the country sweater. At what age did you, you know, kind of start thinking, you know, the NHL is really, really the end game, you know, for your dreams of playing at the highest level versus just representing your country?
I don't really think that I thought about it that much before I signed my first contract, really. Like, I'm kind of just one of these people that just look what's in front of me, and I don't really like try to think too far ahead. I'm just like focused on my everyday practice and my everyday life and everything. Yeah. Right. So when I signed my first contract, it was kind of out of the blue too, because that was my first year in the Swedish Elite League, and I was the backup to Jacob Markstrom then, so I didn't really play that much, and thought for sure that I was going to need at least one or two more years after Marky left to get some NHL attention and everything. But Vancouver just saw something in me, and yeah, was fortunate enough to sign that first contract.
And that's almost a perfect transition to my next note. Is, you know, you end up in North America, like a lot of athletes hockey players, you start out in the AHL, you know, first in Manitoba, then in Chicago. You know, moving up to that pro level is hard for most players, just catching up to the speed. But not only did you have to deal with that, but you had to deal with living in a whole new culture. You move across the pond. I know in Europe, you know, they teach English in the schools, but, you know, even language-wise, you know, what kind of transition was that to, you know, adapt to living in North America and speaking English every day and not just in school?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a challenge, you know, I thought I went about it the right way, because a lot of Swedes and European, when they come over, they just like attract kind of the same players, right? So you're mostly friends with the other Europeans or like the other Swedes and everything. And I just said, like, I want to learn English as fast as I can, and I want to learn the way of living here, right? So I just moved in with two Canadian guys instead, and that helped me a ton, I think, just like speaking English at the rink and speaking English at home. When I first came over, I just thought that everyone spoke so damn fast, and like I really couldn't keep up, you know. So it was good that I moved in with them, I think, because like that forced me to speak English all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and probably didn't help that first year you were in Manitoba. It's not like there's a lot of culture going on there. You know, you're kind of in the middle of nowhere. So that probably did help a little bit in terms of, you know, learning the language, but in terms of learning the culture, that probably didn't really start until you got into Chicago, is my guess.
No, exactly. And yeah, Chicago was great, because I met my wife there, and she's American too. So it kind of took it like to another level. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, by then I kind of feel that I was half Swedish, half Canadian American, right? So yeah. So yeah, I didn't really feel that I had any issues with like the language or anything, and I felt at home, and I felt comfortable in all situations like that. So yeah, Chicago was like more when I finally started to feel a little bit like home here.
Now, you met your wife. Is she originally from Chicago? Or
yeah.
Okay, I have to ask what part of Chicago, because that's where I grew up as well.
Oh, cool. So she is from Hinsdale. So
okay,
the west suburbs, right? So
yep. Yeah, I have friends that still live in Hinsdale. I grew up on the city's south side where they have the big St. Patrick's Day parade. So
oh, nice.
Yeah, played my high school hockey down there. Wow. I got to skate at the Allstate Arena before a Wolves game in high school.
Yep.
you know, I think the Wolves, when you look at AHL teams, that's such an awesome market and fan base, because for so long they were an independent team and they just kind of have this really dedicated group of fans that doesn't matter what's going on, they're coming out.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just very fortunate to be able to play on first the Manitoba Moose, which was kind of almost run as an NHL team already. Yep. Then, right? And then the Chicago Wolves is probably the highest up that you can come in the AHL, right? So all of my other friends were talking about, they were busing everywhere and it was like these road trips from hell and everything like that. Right. And I was just like, well, it's pretty nice here. I'm flying everywhere. And yeah, I mean, it's not as bad as everyone keeps telling me, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you spent 2 years in Chicago, and I mean, if you're going to spend time in minor league city, Chicago's not a bad one just for the food alone, right?
No, exactly. And yeah, there's definitely amazing spots, amazing restaurants, and just so much to be out and see on days off.
So you get to Vancouver, and you've got I think one of the guys that during his career was so under the radar funny that we didn't know about it until the end, Roberto Luongo. How special was it to have a guy like that in the locker room that is just kind of that low-key funny to keep things loose?
It was great. I mean, Lou is one of the best people that I ever met, and I remember just like when I first signed with Vancouver and everything, and like the goal eventually was to become Lou's backup, right? And to be able to be there and grow close to him. I mean, it was amazing. Yeah.
You know, there's goalies over time where you look at them and you hear the horror stories of their relationship with their goalie partner. But when people talk about Roberto Luongo, it's kind of the opposite. He seems to have really embraced the younger goaltenders and understood, you know, yeah, his role was the starting goaltender, but it was also to help bring you along. And even if you weren't going to replace him in the net, still teach you the pro game, teach you how to act as a pro so that if you do go elsewhere, you're set. You know, how integral was he in your development early on in the NHL?
No, he was great. And it was just like one of these guys that you really been looking up to for such a long time, and then to be able to play with him was just amazing. And like the way that he handled himself with like the whole Heritage Classic game, and I know that he wanted to play, he wanted to be in there. I mean, all of us wanted him to be in there, right? But for him in that moment to like still be there and still be support of me, I mean that just shows the world of him.
Yeah, and you know, as a Blackhawks fan, I didn't appreciate him as much as I should have for a few years. but I came back around and I look back on those years that I didn't necessarily appreciate him the way I should have, and can look at his play and go, man, was he good. You know, it was fun to watch them. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, but you wind up leaving Vancouver and you wind up in Carolina, which there's another hockey market that has a niche of fans. And I don't think people realize how good of a hockey market it really is unless the team's doing well, then they take notice of it. But it was while you were in Carolina that you happened to make a commercial for a little taco joint that now you're forever connected with tacos. How did that come about?
So I think I did like an interview in Vancouver, and they just asked me what my favorite food was, and I said tacos, and they're like, well, this is kind of weird, like Swede here, and he invited Mexican food the most, right? So I just kind of like, from then, it took a life of its own, and like, I remember when I played in Vancouver still, there was a place called Gringos, and I had my own taco and everything there, and the price for that taco was whatever my goals against average was at that time. So that just kind of grew, and I took that to Carolina. I just wanted to do something fun off the ice there as well.
Yep. So your love of tacos, did this start when you moved to North America, or, you know, I grew up with Mexican food because it's America, but how prevalent, you know, is Mexican food in Sweden growing up, or was that just something you moved here and you're like, ooh, these are pretty good?
No, like you, me and my dad, we always had tacos on every Friday at home, and we made them at home, and we just like, that was kind of our tradition. I mean, it's not really Mexican tacos, it's more like sweet Mexican, so I would say that. But when I get over here and I get to try real Mexican food and everything, I mean, I was just like, blown away. But that was something that kind of started early for me, I guess.
It's funny you say real Mexican, because I was in college working a summer job once, and I was on a job site with a Mexican fella, and I had Taco Bell for lunch, and he starts picking on me. He's going, you want real Mexican food? You come to my house. I'll cook you real Mexican food. I'll make you real tacos. And I was like, I know these are cheap tacos. It was cheap and it fills me up. I was like, no. You go to an authentic Mexican place and the food's just amazing. I can't get enough of it. When you go different places, do you almost search out the taco joints now out of obligation, or are you just kind of like, enough of the taco talk already?
No. Like I always enjoy a good Mexican spot. I don't say that I seek it out, because we have so good mm-hmm. Mexican food here in Arizona already. I don't really need Mexican food unless I like go out here, or we go to Mexico, right? Which is still my all time favorite Mexican food. So yeah, it all kind of depends what I'm in the mood for as well. If I'm in the mood for a little margarita, a Mexican.
Yeah, the margaritas can definitely change the mood of the day. That's for sure. So switching back to hockey, one thing I think when, you know, real goalie geeks think of Eddie Lack, they think of your style. And this is style that started back in Chicago when you had those sweet Wolves pads with the Wolf logo right on the pads. And from there, I mean, you always had some killer pads. Were you always a gear nerd, or was it just when you got the opportunity, you're like, let's do something fun?
You know what? I wasn't really a gear nerd when it came to like altering my equipment one way or another, or that felt better than like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I started with Brian's pad, I just thought that that was such a cool feature, right? And that was something like fun that I could show off, and like something that I could show my personality, you know.
So
yeah, it's definitely something very.
We are on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the action of the divisional round. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, over your career, you had some awesome looking sets. Which one would be your personal favorite looking set?
I really like those Wolf pads. I mean, it's so tough to just like pick one, but
yep.
The Wolf pads, the Heritage Classic, and probably the kid kickback throwback that I had with the Flames. Those were really cool as well.
Yep. You know, and you talk about the Wolves, I think that maroon jersey of theirs is one of the most underrated jerseys in all of hockey. You know, it's right up there with the Blackhawks red sweater. I think it's just so clean and sharp. And then those green eye, like that neon green eye that those jerseys have, they're just awesome.
For sure. Like that was probably my favorite jersey that I play with, I would say.
Yeah. I have a few in my closet, having grown up in the city. In fact, when I went to college to play hockey, my mom and dad were kind of missing going to hockey as often as they did with me. So they got season tickets to go watch the Wolves because they were cheaper than Blackhawks tickets. And they had them for a number of years and they loved it. You know, it's a great atmosphere there. And
the fireworks before the game. And,
yes.
And, like, they always have a good team on the ice too. So
that building gets really warm during warm-ups or the pregame festivities. And with it being right next to the airport, every once in a while you'd hear the big jumbo jets coming overhead during a game.
Yep.
And you're like, is that thing gonna land or is it gonna wind up in the building? We don't know. So post career, you've started in real estate. Is this something that was just kind of like organic happened, or have you always been interested in real estate and house flipping and all of that?
Yeah, I've always been interested, and I've always done like my own investments while I was playing. And I think that's something that I learned from my family back home in Sweden, because we do a ton of real estate and we have hotels and everything back home too. So that's definitely something that I knew that I was going to do after I wasn't sure where I was going to do it, if I was going to move back to Sweden or if I was going to do Chicago or like Arizona, right? But yeah, we just really loved living here in Arizona, and like the way that I'm feeling now, I don't really think that we're ever going to move from here. So yeah, we love it.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a great part of the country. We've been to Tucson a few times. Old boss of mine has a real nice place up in or down in Tucson, right on a golf course in the mountains. And if he wasn't there, he'd let, you know, the employees go there for a week with their family. So we went down there a couple times and we loved it. And we're actually planning a trip to Phoenix for spring training to take in some baseball this year. So we're getting back down there again to escape the cold of Minnesota.
Right.
Yeah. We're just now trying to figure out where exactly do we want to stay in Phoenix to maximize our fun.
Yeah, exactly. No. And like the spring training is awesome because you have arenas like everywhere across the valley, right? So we actually have an Airbnb right now right next to Scottsdale Stadium where the Giants are
okay
playing. So yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, we're going down to see the Cubs play because that was the team I grew up cheering for, and
yeah.
So that was kind of the idea. We'll go see Cubs spring training. Always been on my bucket list. So we're looking to mark that one off the list. And like you said, the Airbnb, we're just trying to find one that marks off all of our wants and needs for a few days of relaxing by the pool. You know, you mentioned the family's been in real estate and hotels. You know, so it makes sense that you got into real estate, and now, you know, this explosion of the Airbnb and Vrbo rentals, you know, where it was just kind of like a natural marriage. But what about the house flipping? That was that part of your youth and the family growing up, or is that like, hey, let's just take it to another level?
Not really. It's more like an opportunity that I saw here, I guess, we found great contractors and we just found people that we trust. Right. And yeah, it's kind of something I've always liked these different shows on like HGTV and everything.
Yeah, they make
that.
It look like, so easy, but, right?
so yeah. We just started with one and we felt like it was going really well. And then we just kept it going here, you know? So yeah, it's been fun. The market's been extremely hot here. So even if you made a few mistakes, you kind of got away with it. Right. So yeah, yeah. It's been a good market to get into here.
I don't know if you've seen the old Tom Hanks movies from the late 80s, early 90s, The Money Pit, but has there been any houses that you guys bought to flip where it was like just one problem after another? You're like, what did we do here?
I mean, we usually don't do just the cosmetic flips and everything. We usually do like a full gut. So, we usually just count on that everything is going to be replaced anyway, so there's no real surprises to everything, right? The biggest thing is just like if something that we count on to be replaced doesn't need to be replaced, that's a plus for us, right? And that, yeah, awesome.
Well, that makes sense, and it's probably the better way to go than just, you know, all right, yeah. Let's hope the electric in this house is good. And then you got to rewire the whole house and there's exactly. A nice expense. So being mindful of time, I like to close out every episode with a list of 10, I call them rapid fire questions, but they're not that rapid because they always bring up good stories, but they're the same 10 questions I've asked every goalie I've had on the podcast from high school goalies to Eddie Belfour. You know, so it's the same 10, which is fun. And the first one is, what's the craziest coaching moment from your playing days where a coach just lost it and you're like, what is going on here?
So I don't know if you saw, but when Vancouver played Calgary and we had the Tortorella on the bench, right? Mm-hmm. And when he ran into their room in the intermission, I mean, that was like 100% the craziest part.
How was it playing for a guy like Torts? You know, I think some people have their preconceived notions, but as a player, what were your thoughts of him?
I think it's more fans that have an issue with him.
Yeah.
And I think that's almost kind of the way that he wants it. Cause like his press conference and everything, he's kind of arrogant at times and everything like that. Right. But I know that most players in that room is like always ready to go out and battle for him. Right. So, I really liked playing for Torts, and he was probably my favorite coach that I had throughout my career.
You know, it's interesting you say it's probably the fans, and having coached, you know, at the high school level, I've always felt that he's trying to deflect the focus off of his players onto him so that you guys can just focus on the day-to-day stuff and not worry about criticism or anything like that. Yeah. Instead, it's, all right, what did he say last night that's ridiculous? You know, because we've all heard the stories of, you know, the kind of person he is and, you know, the compassion he has just for everyday life. And it's like that, that trickles down into the locker room and the way he treats his players. I've always felt that way. So, So my next question is, what's your favorite all-time goalie mask? Doesn't have to be one you wore, but just any goalie. What's your favorite mask that you've seen out there?
I mean, you brought up Eddie Belfour. I mean, he had such a classic, iconic mask with the eagle on the side, right? But if I had to choose one, I mean, Henrik Lundqvist always had the best mask with the Rangers, and he really stood out compared to everyone else, I think.
Yeah, you know, the one criticism I'll have with Henrik, though, is he never kept the same design for very long. It was like, all right, got to flip the calendar. Let's see what mask Henrik has now today.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but God love him. You know, if I had that opportunity to get a new mask that often, I would have too.
Yeah, you know.
So what's your favorite rink that you've played at?
I really loved playing in the United Center, actually. And mostly because I played there in Chicago with the Wolves before, and I had family and I had friends there, and like whenever I came to play the Blackhawks there, I always had a lot of support in the stands from like people that I know, right? So the United Center is probably my favorite, and I always felt I had like good games and everything there too.
In the atmosphere pregame is unmatched. That's for sure.
It is. It's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, I think any hockey fan who hasn't been there for the national anthem, they just don't get it. They think it's overrated. They don't understand why they're cheering, but all you have to do is go there once and you're like, this is cool.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite goalie stick that you've ever used?
I don't know if I have a favorite goalie stick. I mean, I used Warrior sticks at the end, and I felt that they always treated me nice and everything. I honestly didn't really have a preference for like sticks. It was more just like what was given to me.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of the same way. I just wanted to make sure it was going to last and it was the right size. When we were in college, we had two options, and the one I probably would have gone with was too small. So I went with the bigger one, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
What's your favorite youth hockey memory?
My favorite youth hockey is probably when I played for a team called Leading Air, and we were just really good, and we won a lot, and I became like really, really good friends with a lot of those guys, and like some of my best friends up to this day just like played for that team back then.
You know, and I think a lot of the goalies I talk to, when I ask that, the biggest thing is it's the people they played with, not necessarily what they did on the ice, but the people they
100%,
played with.
100%.
So this is the one I always like to ask. What's the best chirp you've heard on the ice, off the ice, in the locker room, directed at you, not directed at you?
Luongo had a really good one. So it was my first year, and we were playing an exhibition game. And everyone is just like sitting in the locker room getting ready for like the game. And Darcy Hordichug, which I know really well because he lives here in Arizona too, he was just like talking and talking and talking, and like he couldn't stop, right? And everyone was kind of getting a little bit annoyed. It's like we're kind of trying to get ready for like a game here and everything. And Luongo stood up and he said, "Don't worry, guys, just give this one to Hordy because this is going to be his last game as a Vancouver Canuck." And everyone just got dead silence, and then everyone just like erupted. And the funny part of it is that Darcy got traded the next day.
Oh boy. So what is the worst post-game beer that you've had?
You know what? I don't think I've ever had a bad post-game beer.
I was going to say, now you're playing in the beer league. Do the guys expect you to bring the beer all the time, being the former NHL player, or is it still?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. No, beer, a cold beer always tastes good after you play hockey. I don't think I've ever had a bad beer all the game. We have a thing now with my beer league team now. If we win, which we always do, we have a peanut butter whiskey shot after to celebrate.
I'm not much of a whiskey fan. The only one I've had that I actually like is Eddie Belfour's. But peanut butter whiskey, I might have to try that. I might like that.
Yeah. Screwball, it's called.
I'll have to look for it. You know, as I mentioned, you play in the beer leagues, but you don't play goalie. Has your goalie mentioned that, you know, maybe he feels a little extra pressure having you on the ice, like you're critiquing him or judging him?
Oh, Trevor loves me. He always like knows that I'm there to like support him, and I'm always positive and everything. So yeah, Trevor always plays good when I'm on the ice. Yeah,
I know if I were on the ice and I had a goalie like yourself skating for me, I'd be second guessing myself at times. That's for sure. So when you taped your goalie stick, did you go heel to toe or toe to heel?
Toe to heel.
Was there a reason for that? And I ask that because most goalies I talk to say they went heel to toe.
No, I just liked it. I mean, I don't know.
It was just the habit.
It was just like the way I started. And then, I never changed.
Makes sense. That was me going heel to toe. But then again, when I started playing, we were still using full wooden sticks, and that heel of the stick would usually absorb the water. So there's a reason you tended to start at the heel way back then. So what was your favorite number to wear? And more importantly, why?
So in Sweden, I wore number 28. That was just like the number that I started with because I wanted to be a little bit special, I guess. I didn't really want like the goalie number. So that's my favorite. And then when I got sent down for the first time from Vancouver to Manitoba, number 31 was hanging in my stalls. I didn't really have any options.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, that works, right? So the last question is, what advice do you have for young goalies?
Don't overthink it. I mean, I see so many younger goalies that are like scared because they're like 13, 14 and they didn't play last game, or like they didn't like the way they played last game, so they're not going to play now, so they're sour. Like, when you're that age, take it easy. Like, just focus on what's in front of you. Focus on getting better every day in practice. Focus on listening to your coaches. Don't think too far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best advice I have.
No, that's good advice, because I think especially at the youth level, goalies get too caught up in, you know, today's play in a way that affects tomorrow's. Or,
yeah,
you know, it's just like, hey, roll with the punches, focus on today, and don't worry about tomorrow until tomorrow.
Just play and have some fun.
That's what it's all about. You know, very few of us wind up making it to the NHL, so you might as well enjoy every step of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Eddie, thank you for taking time out of your day. Hopefully it made the drive go a little quicker for you, getting to talk some hockey. If we wind up making it out to Arizona for spring training, I might have to buy you a beer.
Yeah. Just let me know and I'll buy you a peanut butter whiskey shot back.
I like it. Well, enjoy the rest of your day and we'll be in touch, bud. Man, I could have talked to Eddie a lot longer and asked him many more questions. If my family does make it out to Arizona to take in some spring training baseball, I may have to take Eddie up on that peanut butter whiskey shot. And don't worry, if I do, there will be video. Be sure to follow Eddie on social media at EddieLack31 on Instagram and EddieLack on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube simply by searching for Wash Up Goalie and I'll pop up. Visit washupgoalie.com for some great hockey-related content, my Beer League hockey video highlights, and of course, all podcast episodes. If you want some Wash Up Goalie or Tendy Talk apparel, be sure to visit my Threadless shop by clicking the merchandise link on my website. If you like this podcast, go listen to the BLPA Big Show. It's the OG BLPA Podcast Network show where a couple of Beer League players talk Beer League hockey, draft experience, shenanigans, and exploits from around the game. Be sure to check out the full lineup of hockey-related podcasts on the Hockey Podcast Network as well. There are too many to list here, but shows like the Euro Puck Podcast, the Hockey Minds Podcast, and the Between Whistles with Johnny Infamous Podcast can all be found. I need to thank the band The Zambonis for allowing me to use their music on my podcast. You can download their music on iTunes or listen wherever you stream music from. I'm working on lining up other goalies to talk to as always. If you are a goalie or have connections to a goalie who I should talk to, shoot me an email at washupgoalie39@gmail.com or send me a DM on social media. Let's not forget, if you're a brand who wants to sponsor the show, be sure to reach out to me. I'd be happy to talk. And finally, if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on the podcast platform you're listening on. It's a quick action on your part that helps others find Tendy Talk. So, until next time, keep your stick on the ice and your body square to the puck. Hey!
today?
It's funny you ask. I was just down there this morning.
Yeah, any good news?
Well, Dave, the pond?
Yeah.
It's froze right over.
All right, let's go.
Get there.